Let me welcome you to our Sunday evening time together. It is an honor for me to be opportunity to share the Word of God with you, and I don't take it lightly. For you who tune in, I appreciate your devotion to that, and I pray that it will help you. It helps me to be able to share the Word of God. That's what it's all about for our hearts and our lives, to do that. I don't take it lightly. Sometimes my Sunday morning message is, I work so hard at them, I miss them. On Sunday night, I'm more relaxed and enjoy them. And so I hope this will be an enjoyable message for you tonight. I hope it'll be a blessing to you. And let me just encourage you to be a little missionary on the movement. You call other people and tell them about the Sunday night service and let them know that that's out there. I get calls all the time in the radio ministry that people call them and encourage them. So we always need to be working on sowing a seed any way we can. Let me talk about today, David, the life of miracles. King David was a phenomenal man. He's a man no one loved him any, loved God any more than David did. Nobody messed up any more than David did. No one had bigger victories than David did. No one had bigger losses than David did. He was just a phenomenal guy, but he was a life of miracles. If you see all the highs and lows in his life and look at our highs and lows in our lives, let me share with you, you can't have a victory without a problem. You can't have a miracle without a brokenness. God is in the miracle business. In this pandemic and all the situations of our life, I've been in the hospital twice today, and a crisis is there, but God is a God of miracles. We must never forget that. We must never let the problem become so big we miss the power of God, or we miss the hope that God brings in our storms. So let me rehearse that today. David's miracles were many. But you know, most likely the most familiar is when David killed that old giant, that big old giant. He came out and just challenged God and challenged God's people and just talked bad about God and talked bad about God's people. And David comes and he stands up as a small man and takes on a giant. I'll take a glance at that. Now, I want you to know this. David was as much as human as I am and you. Sometimes we look at these Bible characters and we think somehow they had a special anointing. You know, some religions talk about all the anointings, and I believe in the anointings. But let me share this with you. The anointing of God doesn't change from beginning to end. I don't care if it's 2,000 years ago or 2,000 years in the future if we're still here. But the miracle of God is average people like us, who go through the storms and the doubts and the sins that we all go through. We're not escaped. So let's not put David up there as maybe he was a special guy. He was a guy that knew God was special. That's what his miracles was all about, his faith in God. It's impossible to please him without faith. But David had that faith. Here in the story of this giant, let's just take a look at that. In chapter 17 of the book of Samuel, I want to read verse 32 through 37. And Samuel, as he begins to work, then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail you because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. This Philistine came out 9 foot tall, big guy, and he challenged the Israel army, and he belittled the Israel army. He belittled God. Now, let me just share this with you. And that commandment, be sure how you talk. Don't take God's name in vain. When David heard that giant call God what he called him, that giant became little in David's eyes. He wasn't a man. He wasn't a big, great leader. He was small. He heard him talk about God. And when he learned him talk about God and what David knew about God, he knew there was no match. He knew that God was bigger than that. So sometimes our talk needs to always uplift God and make him bigger than it is, but be careful. Our talk sometimes takes God out of the equation, and we never factor God in. David always factored God in every storm. He brought God to the storm. He didn't run from a storm. He brought God to it. We're in a storm today. I hope you're factoring God in on this. I hope you haven't forgot about God. I hope you believe that he's bigger than any storm you've ever faced and any problem we're in. David did. He happened to believe that. He's telling Saul the king, hey, man, I think I can help you here. And Saul said to David, you're not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you're but a youth. And he is a man of war from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep the father's sheep. And when a lion and bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it, struck it, delivered the lamb from his mouth. And when it rose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine be like one of them, seeing he was defiled the armies of a living God. It ticked David off when he defiled and took God's name in vain. And David said, I know what God's done for me. I fought bear and lion. Now, none of us can stand and say we've done that. But we've been with a lot of enemies in our lives. And we either become like them or become better than them. So the scene is, David saw the giant. And he wasn't afraid. He just knew there was a way that God could work in his life. As a matter of fact, when you're used to walking with God, you're used to miracles. You see them all the time. Maybe not be in your life, but you'll hear them. Hang out with God's people and listen to them talk. I don't believe in coincidence. I believe in the providence of God in my life. And so miracles have been a part of my life and my blessing. I look back and didn't even realize it until I looked back, just all that God was doing. It was phenomenal. Imagine when David got done with his giant, he looked back and said, that wasn't too bad of a battle at all. He looked back at that bear. He looked back at the wolf. He looked back and he says, you know what? God is so good. So I want you to know that if miracles don't work in our life, we don't really have much chance at anything, because it takes the miracle. You know what the cross was? It was a miracle. Resurrection from the dead. And so the life of David was at ups and downs. And he began to take him on. And God began to do work in his life. And God, I guess, is at his best when we're our weakest. When we are weak, he is so much stronger than us. Sometimes when we think we've got an answer, if it isn't God's answer, we don't have anything. So the Lord will deliver us again and again. And David had experienced God delivering him. He had experienced going through those storms and battles. There's a couple people in our church here at First Baptist I've been calling regularly, been very sick. And you know the reason I call them? They have a great attitude. Man, they have sentences on their life that is life-ending. They have problems that I don't even know nothing about, but they're so encouraging me. Thank you for calling, Brother Ron. Let me pray for you, Brother Ron. Let me just tell you how much I think of you, Brother Ron. And so here I am trying to be a light into them. And their miracle life is the joy they have in their storm. The storm hadn't got them down. They're still looking up. They're still trying to help people. They're trying to help an old preacher. That's the reason why miracles need to be part of our life. You want to see them. And if we just focus on all the bad of our life, all we're doing is seeing that giant over there, and that giant can be COVID. And all we're seeing is the giant, but we don't really realize where God is in this story. It's an unknown story. We've never had a giant like this to fight. We've never had a fear like this around the world. But it's not bigger than God. And God is able to show us how to do that, and we got to find a way. So David was there. The miracles were working in his life, and God began to take him on. This giant, they say, was about 9 foot 9 inches tall. It's a pretty big dude. I'd be scared of myself. And he had some sons and pretty big boys, too. And David wasn't afraid of him. He says in verse 42, and the Philistines looked about and saw David. He disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and good-looking. Good-looking punk. Guess what you'd call that today? He made fun of him. You know, I've been made fun of before. I have. It hurts. It goes with the territory. Think what they did to Jesus. Think what they said about him. If you think you're really having a bad day, compare your life to Jesus, and you're not having a bad day at all. Just remember that. And so the giant belittles David. But you know what I like about David? He didn't bite. He didn't listen to that. He knew it was better than that. So the Philistine said to David, I am a dog that you come to me with sticks. And the Philistines cursed David by his gods. He says, you're gonna bring a little stick over here and attack me? Who are you, David? Imagine David is saying something. I'm not gonna use a stick, I'm gonna use a little rock. But who are you, David? Well, David was God's man. Are you? Are you God's lady? Are you God's child? Are you God's man? Are you? Never forget that. I've been in some storms in my life, some spiritual battles in my life, where sometimes I just had to remember I'm God's man. And when I can remember I'm God's man, man, who is greater than for me? Who can be against me? Never forget it. So the Palestine, the Philistine takes off. And the Philistine said, David, come to me, and I will give thee flesh of the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts and the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. Bringing all your big weapons to me, but I'm just coming in the name of God. I'm coming. I'm not stopping. I'm moving forward by faith. I know what they say. I know they all say there's no way. But with God, David knew there was a way. I'd like to go to church with David, wouldn't you? I'd like to sit in church with David and just kind of watch him. Just kind of mirror him and let me just pick up on who he was. You know, sometimes in my ministry, I'll tell you how I've been, the success I've had. I've been smart enough to learn. There's a lot of people know more about this than I do. And so I hang around them. I hitchhike on their movements. I hitchhike on their faith. I watch them. It enables me to have more faith. We foster one another into the fullness of Christ. And to see it happening is phenomenal. Why couldn't we have done that? I imagine all of Israel's army, when they seen David do that, they're all thinking, why couldn't we have done that? How come we got so scared? How come we quit? Because David knew the Lord. David had been in the field with him. David had been in the storms with him. David had been out there and trusted him to take care of sheep. And we're just sheep. And the Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give you the flesh of the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. And David said to the Philistine, you come to me with the sword and the spear and the javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcass of the camp of the Philistines, the birds of the air, and the wild beasts of the earth. All the earth may know that there's a big, strong David. All the earth will know there's a great God. He gets the glory. He gets it. Let's let him get some glory in our lives. Let him have it. And all the world will know there is a God in Israel. There's a God that's alive. Don't America need to know that today? I am so tired of politics. I haven't listened to no debates. I don't even listen to commercials. I see something on TV, I turn it off. I'm going to walk with God. And I can't walk with God if I stay mad half the time. So I'm just clearing my mind so I can do things for God. Because it becomes so unruly if you foster on things that you can't control and things that aren't truth at all on either mouth that comes out of. So all these things are so important. And then all in verse 47, then they all assemble shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord, and he will give you into his hands. The battle is the Lord's. I think we need to remember that. Because we sure fight a lot of battles, and we haven't took time to bring him in on them. So the battle is the Lord's. David's experienced those miracles. David had experienced 9 miracles in his days. You know, Saul was jealous of David, and he sent to kill him. You know, Saul, he was out he was jealous of David. 9 different times, Saul tried to kill David. And 9 times, God spared him. God spared him over and over and over. All the miracles that went. In 1 Samuel chapter 18, let me read verse 10 and 12. And it happened the next day that the distressing spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the house. So David played music with his hand, as the other times, but there was a spear in Saul's hand. And Saul cast a spear from what he said, I will pin David to the wall with it. But David escaped from his presence twice. Now Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him. but he departed from Saul. Do you get that? God took the glory that he gave to Saul and took it from him. He left him there naked as the king of Israel. No power, no faith. All he had was envy and anger and hate towards David. And God gave him over to Romans chapter 1 to reprobate minds. Let him go. Here was David. 9 times he tried to do that. 9 times David prevailed. Now, there's a new era of David's life, and I don't want to escape this. The danger of forgetting the miracles of God. The danger of forgetting the privilege of God and the presence of God and the provisions of God. There's a danger in my life. I can become so caught up in doing church work and reading my Bible, and I do it all so I can learn more, but I forget it's the power of God. And David forgot it. All that he did, he killed that giant, and he did so many things in his life. But something went wrong with David. He began to look in the mirror and thought David was something special, or maybe more than he was. In the book of 1 Chronicles, I want to read this to you, because it's reality. The reason why I love studying the Word of God, because it doesn't cut out the bad pages. It puts it all in there. No one loved God any more than David, but he's got a chapter or two in here that sure doesn't sound like he did at that time. Chapter 21 of 1 Chronicles. Now Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel. Now Satan, he stands up against everything God's into. Every power, every God, he stands up to them. He never relinquishes his trying. The Satan was after David because David was popular. David was presence of God. David meant a lot to so many people. And he began to get him to number Israel. What's so bad about numbering Israel? Well, when we start counting our money and we start counting our power, and we begin to see how we're going to do this on our own, we forget about God. When David fought the giant, he had nothing but a rock in his pocket. David was now a powerful king. And there was a lot of people under him and a lot of people coming against him. No bigger than the Philistines. But now David did something he should have never done. Simple as this. He counted his army to see how strong he was. When he took on that giant, he didn't count his army. He just knew how God was. See how he's thinking different? See how stinking thinking comes? He's just thinking now. I got to make sure we can win this. Don't want to lose it. So he counts his army. So David said to Joab, to the leaders of the people, go number Israel from Beersheba to Dan and bring the number of them to me that I may know them. And Joab answered, may the Lord make his people 100 times more than they are. But my lord the king, are they not all the Lord's servants? Why then does the Lord require this thing? Why should there be a cause of guilt in Israel? Nevertheless, the king's words prevailed against Joab. See, Joab tried to stop him. He said, hey, David, we don't need to do this, man. We really got a God who's running this army. But the king's word is abominable to Joab. I want you to get this. Be careful when you get a little bit big-headed. God will always send somebody to try to help you. Many times when you're big-headed, you just fight it off. Joab was a good guy. David would now count his army. He was now, David's success consumed him. He was a successful man. He killed his thousands. He was a military might. He was a power of God. You know what we do today? I don't think we go out and count our army. I think sometimes we count our money. Make sure we can make it. I don't know how many churches that I deal with. They got to have a savings account just in case God fails them. I know all about church. I pastor a church with a $1 million budget. I do know about how it works. I don't know how, I know important, and I know it's to be a good steward, and I know you got to be able to take care of all the things that go on. But whenever you get to the point when you got to count your money just in case this place fails, we're in the wrong place. You're in the wrong mind. You're serving the wrong God. You've looked in the mirror too long, and you're looking at what you can do. You know why David took on that giant? Because he knew what he knew what God could do. You know why David's counting his army? Because he's trying to find out what he can do. It ain't what I can do or you can do. It's what God can do. And God can do anything. If we don't forget that. The reason why God says you can't serve God and money, you love one and hate the other. The reason why we put on a dollar bill on God we trust. The temptation is there to count our money and feel secure. Let me tell you something. Being a good steward is important. Having savings is important. But let me tell you something. You count totally on God. Because when you start counting your wealth and your strength and your ability, and that's what you live at, and that's what you foster, God help us, because giants need little rocks with a big God. We don't need a church with a lot of money. We need a church with a lot of faith. And God will give it money. God will prosper it more than it can ever prosper on its own. He's a wonderful God. He can do those things. So David begins to consume himself. And what he forgot what all God could do. Remember what he told the giant? Remember what he told people? Give you the name of God. Now he's looking at his army. He's beginning to see all the evil around him. He's beginning to see all the challenges around him. They're mounding up. They're getting bigger. The devil's always challenging more. Do we cave and quit? Or do we say we got a God who will go forward with us? We serve a church that the gates of hell can't stand against. It's the kingdom of God. Do we go forward with that miracle power, or do we relinquish it because of the rumors and the words and maybe what if? Well, David did that. He went through a trying time when David did that. David had an affair. David had a man murdered. This King David that loved God with all of his heart, that took on a giant, and was a giant of a man with God, began to fall because he began to count what he could do and forgot to be dependent upon God. I need this message in my life. Do you need it? I need to understand this. Do you need to understand this? Do you understand how America's become so spoiled and rotten that we think we don't have the best of everything and we don't have all this technology and all this? Man, I tell you, I went to church when I was on vacation, a little bitty old church, and we sang up there, there's about 40 people, "Oh, How I Love Jesus." Four stanzas of that song. I ain't sung that song in hundreds of years. And I love singing that song. But there's some people in there that just had some great faith, and I just enjoyed being with them. They didn't have a lot of show and tell, but boy, I tell you what, when they talked about God, you could tell it. They walked with God. You could feel it. It was exciting for me just to stop by and sit back in the back seat and see how God has blessed people by faith, and not how much they have, but how much God's in the room. It was great service for me. I learned a lot. I learned a lot. I learned a lot from the people. Now, let me talk about the last miracle of David. His last miracle was his greatest miracle. He had a lot of them. Remember, he miracle, bottom. Now he's in trouble. He's committed all these sins. How'd you like to sin, take and commit adultery with a woman that makes sure her husband dies, and go through all of that? Have that on your conscience to live out what David did. I don't think he went to bed thinking about how God used him to kill that Goliath. I bet he went to bed every night thinking about Uriah and where he's at in the field when he died. But he couldn't get over it. Let me take you to his last miracles in Psalms 51. His last miracle. "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to your multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Just take them away from me for killing me." This David, who was something before with God, "I'm nothing today." And God, you know how much David had to trust God to ask him for that? Let me tell you something, Christian, is some of us got so much pride, we'll never get to that point. We think we'll work our way out of it. We'll think it'll get better. But David went right to the source. He said, God, blot it out. It's killing me. He says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Well, that'll make your church hot. That'll make a giant run. That'll change things. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sins ever before me. And remember this. When you do those things, your sin stays in front of you. The devil counts it and never lets it go. He likes squeezing you with it. He likes telling you no good. He likes to say you ain't much. He gets you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. You may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Verse 9. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me to the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. And David got that miracle. God cleansed him. God anointed him again. Got to give him an opportunity with all of he done. Let me tell you something. David may have forgotten about the giant, what God did with him. But I believe David went to his grave realizing the greatest miracles when God cleansed him and used him and picked him up and he could be a spokesman for God again. He lost his son in this battle. His son tried to kill him. Family fell in. Everything went wrong. But David's got another miracle. It's another chance. It's another day. And may God give us that miracle. May we wake up in the morning and realize who we are in Christ, and he died for us. He died. He gave it all for us so we can live for him and not count our army and not count our resources, but count God. It'll change the way God works in the house when that happens. I want you to know that I know some people that have tremendous faith, and nobody else knows them. They're not important people. They haven't written any books. One of them lives in a house that you wouldn't even want to live in. But when I sit down and talk to her, she just is so happy with Jesus. She's so uplifting. She tells me all God's doing for her, and I look around, it doesn't seem too much at all. But that's how we do it when we count stuff. We look around instead of looking up. She has more peace than I've ever thought about. She has more power than I could ever dream. Because she still sees God as a giant killer. And she's never got over it. And I want to encourage you today to live the life of the miracles of David, all of them. And may they be real. But may we understand God's forgiveness and the multitude of his grace for our future. And never forget God in any storm. Let me pray for you. Father, we stop here today and pause. Look at the life of David. It's helpful. It's encouraging. And Father, I thank you for your mercy and your grace in that old covenant. And that standard then, how you worked in David's life. I ask you to work in my life like that. God, I've counted too much stuff. I've looked around and see what I have. But God, I know this. Without you, I don't have nothing. I have a beautiful wife and children and grandchildren and many friends, brothers and sisters. And God, it's because of you I have that. May I never forget. And thank you for my miracle of salvation. In Jesus' name I pray.